Everyone is complaining about Texas, and is it for good reason? Well, we'll talk about that. Trackhouse has a new car, the number 91. Gonna be racing for a few races this season, hopefully. And does Kyle Busch finally have a sponsor? Well, we'll be talking about that on the podcast. Plus, also, we're gonna be talking about those Xfinity Truck Series finishes and point standings. So, let's get into the podcast. Let's go! Race Car Podcast is created by the Combustion Gamer YouTube channel and exclusively put onto TCG Podcast for all listening platforms. Thank you. Alright, everyone, welcome back to the Pace Car Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the Xfinity and Truck Series race, and that will be at the end of the episode. First, let's get into some quick news, and then, of course, we'll get to those items, as I said. So, what do Joe Gibbs Racing and JTG Dotary have in common? Well, they have the same agency getting them sponsors. So, JTG Dotary, earlier this year, sold out a sponsorship with Kroger. Kroger, very awesome. Definitely like them. Awesome delivery service. Very, very good. And the food and prices and deals is excellent if you're watching. If they're in your area, I would try them out. Good stuff, good stuff. But anyways, Kroger bought up all of the sponsorship on Ricky Stenhouse Jr.'s car, and so Joe Gibbs Racing contacted JTG's sponsorship agency and have been working with them to get a sponsorship, it sounds like. Now, not necessarily for Kyle Busch, but for the team as overall is what it sounds like. But Kyle Busch does sound like they have at least one big sponsor that is very close to having a deal done with Joe Gibbs Racing. Sounds like it's a big tech company, whether that is electronics or whether that is social media, not totally sure. But does sound like a deal is in the works, so that sounds like good news. So sounds like they are currently, they have the deal almost done with the company itself. Now they're working with Kyle to get his deal done, so we'll see how all that goes. But does sound hopeful for the driver of the number 18 to keep that Candyman racing for a little while longer. So definitely exciting to hear that, and it's going to be interesting to see what that sponsor is. So we'll see how will the number 18 car be transformed if the deal gets done. What is it going to look like in the future? That's going to be interesting. In further news, we have Trackhouse announcing that they will be fielding a third car. For how many races, we're not necessarily sure on, but at least one this year and possibly more in the future. But it is Project 91. That's going to be the number of the car, but also the name of the idea behind the car, which is to bring in international racing stars to race in NASCAR. So, is this a good idea? I think it is. I think it's an excellent idea. I've always kind of liked having crossovers between, especially in the racing industry anyways. I've always liked having the ability to have drivers crossover. Obviously, I think the best one was like Jimmy Johnson with F1. I don't remember who he did that with, unfortunately. I didn't keep track of that as much, but I do know that he did switch over with a driver at the time, and that seemed like that went over well. To me, it sounds like fun. So, to have somebody else coming from some other form of racing, potentially, you could have Australian supercars, you could have F1, you could have the BTCC, British Touring Car Series, you could have, who knows? Actually, just, yeah, who knows? But I think it's a good idea. Definitely get some attention for Trackhouse, and definitely since they've had a very competitive car and team this whole season with Ross Chastain and even Daniel Suarez, I think that this could potentially be a very cool experience, not only for fans of multiple sports, but just NASCAR fans in general, and it'll be interesting to see who they get to drive. I think the first name that I thought of wanting to see in the sport try a race, probably Mark Webber. That's the only name that really came to my mind, and obviously he hasn't been racing in F1 for a while, but still, just that was, for some whatever reason, that was the first name that came to my mind, was just Mark Webber for whatever reason. So I don't know. We'll have to see who gets in their car, but I think it's definitely a very cool experiment the Trackhouse is going to run, and it'll be interesting to see who they get and what kind of sponsorship as well they get to go along with that. Will it be a sponsor of the driver, or will the team sell a sponsorship? So different
different things going on with that, but it'll be interesting to see what those cars look like scheme-wise anyway. So I think that's very cool. So very, very cool. And hopefully we get some cool drivers in to race in the sport at different tracks.
Want to support the Pace Car Podcast and the Combustion Gamer YouTube channel? Well, you can. Head on over to the Combustion Gamer's Ko-Fi page, where you can become a fan sponsor and donate monthly, or you can give a quick donation for one time only. Check it out today, the Combustion Gamer over on Ko-Fi.
Alright, before we get into the point standings of the Xfinity and Truck Series and the race results, etc., we obviously had the normal complaining and whining about Texas and the overall style and racing of the track itself. So what do I think overall about Texas? Honestly, I don't really care. It's a racetrack, and I get to see cars race, so I'm not overly annoyed by it. I do see that the track isn't the best. It definitely is not as good as Homestead or Kansas. It doesn't make that good of a racing, so I do get where people really just want to see it not be on the schedule near as much or not at all, so I do get that idea. Also, you have Chicagoland and other tracks that are currently sitting dormant where the racing is not happening, Kentucky, just other tracks that don't have a date, and Texas has two. So I get the idea that, yeah, it's like, why do these intermediate tracks need two dates? It doesn't totally make sense, although Homestead, Miami, I personally would love to see two dates at, but that's my own opinion. But yeah, things need to change at Texas, obviously, just track-wise. And I don't think that the facility itself needs to be changed, but definitely the track could use a update. So what could that be? Well, I think I've said this on the podcast before, or maybe just in gaming videos before, but Texas does have a road course. Obviously, the road course is used more for the drift events that happen at the track. So obviously, they have quite a few events happening in the infield of Texas Motor Speedway, so they're doing pretty good there. But I think that potentially you could get that that road course and be able to make a Texas Roval. I don't know if that will ever happen, but I'd say that that's always a good idea. Plus, also, you can then potentially appeal if you have appeal to different sports if you have a dedicated road course in the oval itself already, and then be able to use the oval, which hasn't been having as good of racing as of late, and be able to, instead of totally redoing that surface, already have the road course there to utilize that and have that as the new track. So, I mean, to me, that makes sense. That seems logical, instead of just tearing up the, I believe that they repaved it, resurfaced it and stuff, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to redo the track when you have already resurfaced and stuff. So just adding on the road course and making that the dedicated track for the different series like NASCAR and others that might be coming through, that seems to make sense to me, rather than just totally tearing up somebody's work, whether it was good or bad, and just saving money and just redoing the infield course and making that maybe a little bit wider, and maybe a little bit just switching it up to make it for better road course racing. So I don't know. To me, that seems like the best move. Definitely seems that a lot of these intermediate tracks, getting these road courses set up so that you can have different series, different events, seems like the best logical move financially and event planning wise moving forward, especially with the economy and the stuff where it is, because the more events you can have, the more versatility these facilities can have, I think the better. And so making racetrack facilities as multi-purpose as possible for not only motorsport racing of different types and different disciplines, but being able to make it for different events overall, I think is a good idea. So obviously, like with Texas Motor Speedway, I mean, hey, make that into I think multiple tracks did do this, including Charlotte. They made them into drive-in movie theaters. So I mean, being able to do that with the screens that you already have up, I think that's an excellent idea. And just digging down, it's like, hey, what do we have here that we can continually use, and that will bring us a pretty good amount of money in consistently, so that when that particular thing that we're using breaks down, we can fix it. I think that's a good financial move going forward. So, to me, I think Texas is fine, but I do think that they need to change things up a little bit. And I think if they went the Roval course, I think that would be a good investment long-term for the different, as I said, different disciplines of racing, but also potentially to help bring back the NASCAR fans a bit as well. But also, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense at this point, since you already have COTA on the schedule currently. That doesn't make it a whole lot of sense to have two competing road courses in Texas. So, in that aspect, it doesn't make sense. But financially, to me, for the course itself, with how big Texas is, and how big the market for racing in Texas is, to me, it makes sense to go ahead and do that, to be able to host multiple events, and then also still have the oval still intact. So, to me, that makes sense. But maybe not. Maybe you really hate Texas and just want to see it totally bulldozed. I have no idea. But to me, I never want to see a track bulldozed and then rebuilt as a short track. I want to be able to see, I always want to see a track in its original format preserved and maybe just reformatted so it can host something else. Like, to me, Auto Club, it never made sense to me. It's like, hey, you have this 2-mile track of all this space that you're able to use, and you're going to bulldoze that and make it into a short track. Why not simply figure out a way to put a short track into the middle of the track itself, or to incorporate a short track by utilizing the front stretch? Maybe push the pit lane farther back and be able to build a short track that integrates with the bigger track overall, so you can have two styles of oval racing, plus also COTA has a road course as well. So I don't know. So to me, bulldozing a racetrack, I never liked that idea. Probably reforming it would be a good idea, so let me know on Instagram and stuff what you think about just reconfiguring Texas, because to me that seems like the best logical and financial idea moving forward.
Pace Car Podcast is brought to you by We Stitch Together. We Stitch Together is a Florida-owned and operated craft shop on Etsy. You can get anything from handmade drying mats to reusable napkins. That's right, those nice cloth napkins, all that paper stuff. And they have sales almost monthly, so check them out at etsy.com/shop/WeStitchTogether. Once again, that is www.etsy.com/shop/WeStitchTogether. Make sure you go and check them out. Needing an up-to-date NASCAR 2022 schedule? Well, you can get it. Go over to Ant on the Move on Etsy and you can get your printable NASCAR Cup Series 2022 schedule. You can even check out other printables for Florida, state parks, and other things while you're there. That is Ant on the Move over on Etsy. That is www.etsy.com/shop/AntOnTheMove. Check it out today.
Alrighty guys, so here we are talking about the racing of Texas, the Truck Series and Xfinity Series. Obviously, we talked about the All-Star race in the previous episode. Moving on to the Truck Series race, let's talk about what happened there. So, in qualifying, John Hunter Nemechek gets the pole, ends up having to go back to the back. And what did we see in Stage 1? Well, in Stage 1, it was the Ryan Priest-Stewart Friesen show. That is what happened there. And then we went to Stage 2, and what did we see again? The Ryan Priest and Stewart Friesen show. It was very, very hard racing between those two. That is really where all the racing was. And then in the end of the race, Stewart Friesen, luckily a Truck Series regular, able to get the win over the over Ryan Preece, so kind of nice not to see Ryan Preece, the Cup Series driver, necessarily get the win, not the four-time guy. Nice to see the four-time guy get the win, but still, Ryan Preece ran good, had a really great race, and but still, very good to see a full-time driver there finally get the win, and so we'll see how he does in the playoffs. Stewart Friesen locked in. So anyways, we have the finishing position. Stewart Friesen getting the win in first. Christian Eckes comes up in second. Ryan Preece gets third. Carson Hosevall in fourth. Ty Majeski in fifth. John Hunter Nemechek in fourth. Corey Heim in seventh. Chandler Smith in eighth. Matt Crafton in ninth. And Matt DiBenedetto gets what I believe should be about his third top 10 in a row, I think, if I remember correctly, so not too bad there. Gret Infinger finishes 11th, Ross Chastain in 12th, Todd Bodine ends his race in the top 15. Jordan Anderson ends it in the top 15 in 14th. Brett Holmes in 15th. Jack Wood 16th. Haley Deegan in 17th. Austin Wayne Self in 18th. Jesse Little in 19th. And Timmy Hill in 20th. You also had Chase Purdy, Tate Fogelman, Brennan Poole, Tanner Gray, Tyler Reddick, who round out the top 25, Blaine Perkins, Ben Rhodes, Spencer Boyd, Dean Thompson, and Lawless Allen, Chris Hacker, and Zane Smith round out the cars that finished the race. So you also had Tyler Incham, who had overheating issues, did not finish the race. Kobe Howard finished the race by multiple laps down. Chris Wright and Derek Krause all did not finish the race due to accidents. All right, moving on over to the Xfinity Series. Did not get to watch this one in person for the most part. Got to see the end. The end was pretty good. But it sounds like overall it was a Cup Series duo race. So that's a bit disappointing for a lot of the Xfinity guys. Luckily it does look like a lot of the Xfinity guys were able to get stage points throughout the stages. So that's helpful. But yeah, it was definitely the Cup guys taking over the show again. Which to some extent is annoying. But hey, they got to race, so that's fun. Noah Gregson able to get the win in stage 1. You have Josh Berry get the win in stage 2. And then in the race results, it came down to Tyler Reddick and William Byron. So Tyler Reddick able to get the win in the number 48. William Byron gets second in the number 88 J Junior Motorsports car. Then you have Sam Mayer, who gets third, just now guy in fourth, Austin Hill fifth, Ryan Truex in sixth, Josh Berry in seventh, Roddy Herbst, another top 10 for him, he's doing pretty good in those races there, in eighth, AJ Allmendinger in ninth, Landon Castle in 10th, and Daniel Hemric in 11th. So Conti Racing cars, 1, 2, 3 there once again. So they always seem to be racing in the exact same spot. That's always interesting. Ty Gibbs finishes 12th, Jeb Burton 13th, Brandon Jones 14th, Brandon Brown 15th, Jeremy Clement 16th, Stefan Parsons in 17th, Mason Massey 18th, Jeffrey Earnhardt in 19th, Josh Williams in 20th, you had David Starr 21st, Matt Snyder 22nd, Joe Graff Jr. 23rd, Beatty Curry 24th, CJ McLaughlin 25th, Sheldon Creed 26th, Timmy Hill 27th, Patrick Emerine 28th, Brett Moffitt 29th, obviously he had an issue with track bar. Ryan Ellis caught up in an accident. JJ Yeti caught up in an accident. Anthony Alfredo in an accident. Alex DeBay caught up in an accident. Jesse Ouija caught up in an accident. Ryan Sieg, Noah Gregson, Matt Mills all caught up in accidents. And Ryan Vargas had an issue with his engine. So that's finishing position for the Xfinity race at Texas. Tyler Reddick able to get his first win in a NASCAR series this season with the number 48 car in the Xfinity Series. Alright, moving over to the point standings for the Truck Series. John Hunter Nemechek continues to lead with 343 points. Ben Rhodes is in second. Chandler Smith in third. Stuart Friesen in fourth. Zane Smith in fifth. Ty Majeski in sixth. Christian Eckes in seventh. Carson Hocevar in eighth. Grant Enfinger in ninth. Matt Crafton in tenth. Tanner Gray sits in 11th. Derek Krause sits in 12th. Matt DiBenedetto moves his way up to 13th. Tyler Ankrum in 14th. Timmy Hill in 16th. Ryan Preece sits in 17th. Austin Wayne Self in 18th. Chase Purdy in 19th. And Kobe Howard sits in 20th. You also have Lawless Allen, Tate Fogelman, Corey Heim, Jesse Little, Jack Wood, Haley Deegan, Spencer Boyd, Dean Thompson, Chris Wright, and Brett Holmes, who sit in the top 30. And Todd Bodine there sitting in 31st, Jordan Anderson and Blaine Parkins sitting in 32nd and 33rd. Moving over to the Xfinity Series, we have AJ Allmendinger, who continues to lead in the point standings of the Xfinity Series. Noah Gregson in second, Ty Gibbs in third, Justin Allgaier in fourth, Josh Berry in fifth, Brandon Jones in sixth, Sam Mayer in seventh, Riley Herbst in eighth, Austin Hill in ninth, Landon Castle 10th, Ryan Sieg 11th, Daniel Hemric 12th, Anthony Alfredo 13th, Jeb Burton 14th, Sheldon Creed 15th, Brandon Brown sits in 16th, Brett Moffitt in 17th, Alex LeBay in 18th, Jeremy Clements in 19th, Matt Snyder in 20th, JJ Yeady in 21st, Beatty Curry in 22nd, Joe Graff Jr. 24th, Mason Massey in 25th, Ryan Vargas and Ryan Truex 26th and 27th, Stephen Parsons 28th, Jeffrey Earnhardt 29th, and you have Josh Williams, Ryan Ellis, and Matt Mills and David Starr sitting down below those guys with multiple other drivers throughout the field of over 62 drivers in the Xfinity Series this season, which is crazy. So, looking back at the Truck Series and playoff race, we have Zane Smith leading in the playoffs, Joe Nemechek second, Ben Roach third, Stuart Friesen in fourth, Chandler Smith in fifth, Ty Majeski in sixth, Carson Hosevall in seventh, Christian Eckes in eighth, Grant Enfinger in ninth, and currently Matt Crafton is the final guy in 10th. Yeah, Matt Benedetto currently sitting in 13th out of the playoffs. Looking at the Xfinity playoff grid, you have currently Noah Gregson in first, Ty Gibbs second, AJ Allmendinger third, Justin Allgaier fourth, Josh Berry fifth, Brandon Jones sixth, Austin Hill seventh, Sam Mayer eighth, Ryder Herbst ninth, Daniel Hemric 10th. You also have Landon Castle and Ryan Sieg in the 11th and 12th position. Currently you have Anthony Alfredo and Jeb Burton just out of the chase by about 50 points. So you got those guys chasing those last few spots there in the Xfinity Series. The Memorial Day race, the Charlotte 600 coming up. That's going to be fun to watch. We have all four series at Charlotte this week, so we'll have to see how many races we can watch this weekend. So that's going to be interesting. But anyways, guys, that is it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Make sure to come back and listen to other episodes. And I will be speaking to you guys here next time on the Pace Car Podcast. Thanks for listening.